It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Okay, let's talk about Dontayvion Wicks here from Green Bay. 15 games. He only started 6. Was really kind of coming on, was Dontayvion Wicks here. But 39 receptions, 58 targets, 581 yards with 4 touchdowns, a 67.2% catch rate. Pretty good, 14.9 yards per reception. That's really good. 61% of his snaps came out wide, 37% came in the slot. And Dontayvion Wicks, again, an interesting player. I think there's a lot about his profile that that we could take away and say, yeah, this guy's interesting. Let's take a little deeper dive and see what year number 2 brings.
I really like Dontayvion Wicks. The Packers talk about whatever I just said about the Texans, like that's going to be a tough room to figure out. I have no idea what is going to happen with this Packers receiver room. But I do think something that's within the range of outcomes is that Dontayvion Wicks ends up being the best receiver on this roster. Like, I don't know what percentage likelihood that is. You know, I really like Jaden Reed. His profile is up on the site. I was a big fan of Jaden Reed as a prospect, right? So, like, seeing him play well as a rookie and have a good reception perception profile overall was nice to see. But there are just some traits in Wicks's game that are super desirable and really fits today's NFL well. Overall, as a player, a guy that you see play all three different positions. 64.6% of his sample snaps are outside. He is primarily an outside receiver, but he does some pre-snap motion stuff. He's in the slot a little bit. He's 54.9% behind the line, 45.1% on the line of scrimmage. So you see some X, you see some flanker. I think he generally can line up at all three receiver positions, and you're going to get a positive result for Dontayvion Wicks. But the thing that's really fascinating for him is, overall, the success rates are really nice for Wicks. 72.2% success rate versus man. Really good number. Where we are interested in any wide receiver here that is going to line up as an outside guy and beat man coverage over 70%. Those guys should be on our radar. So Wicks is on that radar. The fact that he also comes back and he is over 70%, 72.7% success rate versus press, again, as a primarily outside receiver, super important for Dontayvion Wicks. And like, he also has some crazy high, like, individual success rates we can kind of break down here. But just, again, from an overall perspective, high level view, the fact that he's an outside receiver and he posts those numbers and really got better and better as the year went on, which I think is important to talk about with him too. You look at the results from his in-season rookie report data to the end of the season, almost everything is up. That is very indicative of who Wicks was as a player. Like, we forget about this because the Packers, you know, offense ended the season on a very high note. There were times when, like, you know, Matt LaFleur was having to, like, kind of hold himself back in press conferences because these receivers were so clearly, like, not at the right place at the right time, not in the like not at the right route depth, and it was causing like real issues for Jordan Love and really the entire offensive ecosystem. Wicks was kind of one of those offenders. He was one of those guys that wasn't always in the right place at the right time. But man, by the end of the season, again, you see all these success rates up. You saw him get better and better as the year went on. I think that's another thing that's super important about him. That overall high level view, success rates are good. They're where you want from an outside receiver that you want to get like. I want to get a little excited about, but just the fact that he got better and better throughout the year is also important as well.
Okay, so there's 2 points that I want to touch on here. You said that this is a player that, if he develops, could end up being the best receiver in this group. I just want to remind folks what that group looks like now. Okay, they spent a first-round draft pick on Christian Watson. There have been times where Romeo Dubs.
He was a high second, but they Christian did Watson. Trade up to like the 34th second round pick.
Okay, so Christian Watson, a second-round pick. Romeo Dubs, at times, has looked like Jordan Love's favorite target at different points. Jaden Reed, they spent a second-round pick on. Okay, and again, they've got other guys that, you know, like Bo Melton, for example, was at one point a highly regarded recruit, right? Dontavian Wicks comes in out of Virginia. He's basically a one-year wonder, I want to say, and it wasn't his senior year either. You know, it was his junior year at Virginia where he put up some big numbers. And then, you know, he's kind of this fifth round draft pick here for Green Bay. Okay, so I want to put that in perspective there. And I want to get back to that, Matt, because I first want to talk about some of these individual routes that Dontavian Wicks is crushing on. And the one number that just flies off the page for me is the out route. Right. Ran 11% of his routes were out routes, and he has a 90% success rate on the out route, which is just that's crazy. That is outrageous. That's an incredibly impressive number. Can you talk about some of the stuff that he does there on the out route? And then again, too, you want to protect on the outside. Great. He's going to beat you on the slant. Okay. Yeah. And the curl route too. So he's got some really interesting routes in his profile that say that, hey, you really can't lock this guy up in any one particular way.
No, you can't. I love the ability to work those in breaking routes we talked about, right? The slant and the curl. His dig route success rate 70.6%. That's solidly within the NFL average. But yeah, it's that ability to win on the out route that I thought was really fascinating for him, and the corner route too, which he ran at a above NFL average rate of 6.9%, and he has an 83.3% success rate. Like, that's when you start looking at this guy and like, man, I can easily get myself very excited about Dontavian Wicks because he can work that middle of the field, which is going to be crucial in this offense. You know, I do think the fact they had him running those dig routes at such a high volume, 19.4% of his charted routes were dig routes. They clearly want him to sort of be in like that Puka Nacua type role for this offense, right? Like working the middle of the field, that type of stuff. But the success rate on vertical outbreaking patterns is what gets me excited about his upside. Like, I don't know if Dontavian Wicks can be like a true number one receiver, but I do know that true number one receivers dominate both on vertical outbreaking routes and over the middle of the field. And we see Dontavian Wicks like do that as a rookie. That's pretty intriguing. That out route specifically, I love the way I just think he's a very good route runner. Like, I think overall he's just like a crafty, strong, technically disciplined player. And again, the more he played, the better that got. But like, you see him, he's not the best deep route separator. His nine routes actually definitely his worst route right now, 41.2% success rate, but he can still sell those vertical patterns and then snap back on the outside. I think he's got a very good sense of like working zone coverage out route plays, like bringing that defender in a little bit and then snapping it back outside. So I love that sort of like nuance and timing that he has in his routes. I think that's expressed both when you see him run over the middle of the field and these outbreaking patterns.
I'm not going to lie. Again, this is from an athletic profile, a very interesting player, right? 6'1", 206 pounds. That's what he tested at the combine. He ran a 4.62 40, which is just, that's so bad. But also had a 39-inch vertical, which is really, really good, especially given his size, you know, his height and size there. So there's a, again, it's just such a mix there. And maybe that kind of sort of explains a little bit about why he's just not separating on the just a straight up go route where he can't use that craftiness, right? He's got to use that 4.62 speed. That's not going to work in the NFL. But when he's got to break off at the stem of his route, you know, he's got some bounce and, you know, he's got a little twitchiness. And I think that's where that 39-inch vertical also kind of shows itself a little bit on tape as well. So really interesting athletic profile from Dontavian Wicks. But again, let me go back to this original thing of what we're talking about. Can this guy, the Baba Yaga, I call him, the Dontavian Wicks, can this guy truly be
what
the
does
number
that mean?
One? Oh, you haven't watched John Wicks, the movie, bro?
Oh, John. Oh, yeah. John Wick. Yeah, sorry. Yaga. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's right. It's been a minute since I've seen John Wick. There you go. I'd probably do for a rewatch.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. At least the first one. The second, third, and fourth one probably just can go in a bin.
I mean, the first one rules, but
the first one's awesome.
I think I've seen the second one and then like half of the third one.
You're not missing anything. You are not missing
anything.
Okay. again, it's a pretty, I don't want to say crowded room. You know, some of these guys, when you talk about, you know, Christian Watson obviously has struggled to stay healthy and on the field. But Romeo Dubs, Jaden Reed, certainly in that mix as well. Man, it's not crowded in terms of like, oh, they've got three just go-to lockdown, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C receivers, but you know, it's crowded in terms of, okay, all these guys can play a little bit and they're going to, you know, command some level of targets.
Yeah, like these guys are all good to some degree, and I think that's the kind of the overarching question about the Packers receiver room. Also should mention they have two tight ends that I think are good to some degree. Like to what degree all of these young players are good, like what is their ceiling? I think that's the question. But I think and that's why it's crowded, because none of these guys truly like suck. Like secretly, oh, they're just out there, you know, compiling because they're out there. Even Romeo Dubs, who in my opinion, if all of these guys are healthy and they're all like things equal here, they all hit their ceilings, I think he's the fourth most talented guy there. But he's not worthless. He's not like a worthless NFL player. He's not somebody who's like, oh man, this guy just shouldn't be out there on the field. He's got some ability. He was like, especially in big games like the playoffs, he was kind of the guy that was most involved there. I don't think that means anything in terms of like projecting for the future or whatever, but he's a guy that's still going to have a role on this team. Now, the thing that's interesting is like Dontavian Wicks versus Christian Watson. Like, I haven't charted Christian Watson's year two data yet, but I don't know that like watching him really, I don't know that anything like is going to happen in the charting data to change my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe he really showed some growth as a route runner in his second season, but I still think he is a player who clearly has value. He is a guy that's going to win down the field. He's going to be a guy that wins in sort of those Martavis Bryant type of ways. But I think he's more of like a big play merchant type than a true volume hog, because he's not consistent. He has strengths, but he doesn't have like multiple areas where he has strength. Where he has strengths, he is not a technically sound player. Dontavian Wicks is that guy that is, you know, technically sound. He has multiple areas of strengths as a route runner. He's got solid hands. We haven't even talked about it yet, but the fact that he has a 14.9 yards per reception, I believe it was, from his rookie season, that's because he can also make plays after the catch. He was in space on just 6.9% of his sampled routes, but he went down on first contact on 41.7% of those plays, broke multiple tackles on 25%. Like, he can do some stuff after the catch. So that's what's really fascinating with him, is he has these multi-layer skill set. I think Jaden Reed, again, we'll talk about Jaden Reed, I'm sure, on a future episode. Like, he has a multi-layered skill set too, but he was kind of like a bit of a slot-only, gadgety player as a rookie. I think he can do more than that. I think if I had to be like, let me put odds on who I think is going to be the best receiver on this roster, to me, it's still probably Jaden Reed, as I would say it should be the odds-on favorite. But I put Wicks up there pretty close just because I like his well-rounded skill set better than I do Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson, who are not bad players. Like I'm saying, they don't stink or anything, but they're guys that I think have a little bit more narrow application than a guy like Wicks might.
What needs to happen for Dontayvion Wicks to get more playing time? Because if this is what we're talking about, a guy who, you know, you take a look at some of his RP numbers here, right? So he's, again, over 72% success rate on the man, over 78% success rate on zone, which is a little bit less than what we would like, but, you know, that's okay. Still within reason, again, as a rookie. 72% success rate on press. Again, these are good numbers, Pat. These are good, solid ass numbers for an undrafted, or I forgot where it goes, but a fifth round rookie in Dontayvion Wicks, right? Great numbers for a player of that caliber. But again, we lay out some of that depth in front of him. What does he need to do to earn more playing time?
It's a great question. And again, this is where it's going to be tough to have a lot of conviction projecting this wide receiver room until, I mean, maybe we get into like, even into like the early season. I know it's like, oh, well, no kidding. Once we see the games, we'll know. Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes. That's the reality of the situation. We can parse things out in training camp. We can parse things out like from preseason and stuff like that. But it's not always like the end all be all. But if I was the Packers, I would just like show up to training camp and be like, who's the best? Like who is the best? We could also, by the way, get into a situation where all of these guys are rotating. I think that's possible, right? Like, I mean, even if you look at to bring it back to the Texans, you look back at like the early season snap numbers for like Nico Collins and Tank Dell. They're not like on the field full go, full throttle. Right. Like early on in the season, weeks 1 through 4 for Nico Collins, 71% snap rate, 62, 66, and 76. Like there was a time where the Texans were like, hey, we're just kind of throwing these guys together, right? Because we have like Noah Brown, and we have we've got Robert Woods, we've got Tank Dell, we've got John Mechie. We don't really know who he is yet. Like teams will do this sometimes, especially early in the season. I would bet that the Packers are probably the ones that maybe do that, just because they're trying to figure out like where everybody plays. And like I gotta keep saying this too, they have two good tight ends. Like they're gonna want to do some heavy personnel stuff, especially because like that's what Matt LaFleur and generally this coaching tree likes to do. So it could end.
By the way, they drafted a pretty good running back too, right? And then they go and spend big money to go bring in a running back, right? So it's like this is, and we know what LaFleur's system is. Hey, listen, even with Aaron Rodgers, it's a run first system. This is a run first team. So again, we're not talking, if we're talking fantasy here, Dontayvion Wicks has got a real big hill to climb before he becomes fantasy relevant. But if we're talking real life, again, I'm just trying to figure out if his numbers are this way, like he needs to be on the field a lot more for Green Bay. And maybe that comes at the price of, you got to sit down Romeo Doubs. Maybe you got to sit down Christian Watson. That's a tough conversation to have, considering he's a second rounder. Does a team do it? I don't think they will. These teams they generally don't give up on players, you know, that quickly, especially a guy who's been hurt. If he can stay healthy, it's going to be awfully tough to supplant Christian Watson as an outside X receiver. So I'm just trying to figure out a way, you know, because some of these numbers, Matt, they look so good, man. And there's a reason to get excited about Dontayvion Wicks. It's just, man, how does this guy get on the field?
I do think that, especially because, like, they're having to see, like, specialists about Christian Watson's hamstring, right? Because he can't stop tearing his hamstring or tweaking his hamstring, whatever.
Yep.
I do think there's a chance that, like, a less is more type of approach with Christian Watson, just because of the injuries. Also, I think because of who he is as a player. Like I said, I think Christian Watson is a good player, but he's sort of in that volatile receiver bucket that we always talk about, with like the, you know, the those guys that you don't ever really want to be your number one, because you want them to throw, you want to throw them the ball like 5 to 6 times a game, and every other game, they're going to do something crazy with the ball when they get it 5 to 6 times. They're going to do like some backbreaking type of things. But the guys that you want like consistently moving the chain for you, guys that are going to get like open in the intermediate area, that's really not Christian Watson's game, and that really is Dontayvion Wicks' game. And I think what's going to help this Packers offense go to the next level here is being more consistent, is having some more like just reliable layup throws, working that intermediate middle of the field. That's going to be critical. And you know, obviously we're not talking about fantasy here, but I think from like a production standpoint,
right,
I will just say in like early best ball drafts for fantasy, Jaden Reed, 63rd overall player, wide receiver 35. Christian Watson, wide receiver 44. Romeo Doubs, wide receiver 51. Dontayvion Wicks all the way down at like 157th overall and like 68th wide receiver off the board in early best ball drafts. Like, I think that they all might be a little closer than that.
Sure.
In terms of like the end of year production, if like everybody's out there and they are rotating and everybody's playing well, but there's just a lot of ways I think for Wicks to end up on the field because his skill set's going to kind of demand it to be on the field. At least that's how I would view it if I was the Packers. You know, and, right. And this is a guy that Matt LaFleur compared to Davante Adams like a few times as a route runner. And we know that like that's not like, oh, let me just compare to a guy who's been good with this team. That guy was like the featured player of Matt LaFleur's offense in Green Bay, you know? So I think it's a pretty high praise, obviously. And look, Wicks has got a long way to go to be freaking Davante Adams, but
yeah,
he is a very good route runner, and that's obviously what helped Davante Adams turn his career around.
I do want to encourage everybody to go to the website, receptionperception.com. When you look at the charts and when you read the profile that Matt wrote, it's just so interesting. Certainly opened my eyes to this player. I know he had some flash plays and some splash plays last year, but I didn't realize that he was this consistently good. So I do encourage folks to go to the website to go check it out. But, you know, the last thing I'll say, and you know, we're talking about these individual routes. Matt, there's just so much green on this guy's profile. And again, the corner route, great. Out route, I know he didn't. Out route was amazing, was awesome. Didn't run a bunch of comeback routes, was great there. Curl route, great. Slant route, great. Post route, good. Dig route, good. Like, he's winning everywhere except in, like, you know, on the nine route, which is fine. You know, that's, I don't think, I'm not saying it's not an important route. But if it's not your most important route for a player, I think that's totally fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been funny to – I keep bringing up Nico Collins because I've been working on him right now. Through the five games, only 7.9% of his routes were a nine route. And this is a guy that, like, all he did was make big plays last year. And all he did was have these, like, big shot catches who almost had 1,300 yards. And he's barely running any nine routes as an X receiver, pure outside X for the Texans.
That's right. That's right. So, that's right.
Like, yeah, you don't have to be – if you have a smart coaching staff, you don't have to have that guy, like – as your top outside receiver running a bunch of nine routes, actually. And then, you know, again, like the way that Tank Dell stretched the field was outside breaking routes and stuff like that for the Houston Texans. And, you know, this is these offenses are kind of cut from the same cloth, right? Because Bobby Slowick comes from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur obviously worked under Kyle Shanahan previously, worked under Sean McVay previously. Like, it's all these guys are all stealing from each other. We all know that. So, by the way, like Christian Watson, his best route is probably the nine route. Is just running 100%. Straight down the field. So, I love the way that Wicks could potentially work himself into a role here. And yeah, there's so much green on this chart, and like there's just he's right now in terms of guys that like I know that like the sickos out there are talking about Dontayvion Wicks, but like a guy that could like kind of come out of nowhere and have 100%. Like a breakout season, it probably is Dontayvion Wicks. Like, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, because of your famous quote, like, who's the next player that you have a weird affinity for that could break out? Like, maybe Dontayvion Wicks is that, like, Nico Collins type. I actually think his progression in reception perception reminds me a little bit of Nico Collins very early in his career, you know, where he sort of popped in the in-season rookie report and, like, nobody's really talking about him. And then you see him develop throughout that rookie season. Obviously, like, the environment just wasn't there. Nico was there. His skill set was ready to break out in year two, but the environment wasn't there. The Correct. Environment's from a target crowded situation, yeah, that's tough, but like from an environment ecosystem standpoint, it's definitely there for Dontayvion Wicks to break out in year two. It's just gonna, like you said, it is gonna be tough to like have how can you project him for 120 targets. You can't, and you certainly, no. I don't even think you could really do it with anybody on this offense.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, if there's one guy, I think it might be Jaden Reed because they might manufacture some looks there for him, but it's going to be, it's like you said, man, it's tough.
And plus, and Jaden Reed is good. Jaden Reed is really, really good.
100%.
So, yeah.
100%. Oh, absolutely. We love Jaden Reed here. By the way, this is why when you go to the website, the very first thing you see is Big Splash telling you who's good before they're good. Before they are good. That's what Reception Perception does. That's the power of this tool. And that's these are the kind of players that I love chopping it up with Matt about because, again, very eye-opening, and great numbers across the board, something that you would say to yourself, really, this guy? Dontavian Wicks, who started six games and only had 581 yards? This is the guy that Matt Harmon is hyping up right now? He had 581 yards. That's exactly why we're doing this. That's exactly why we do this work, man, which is so great. But again, read that profile. Go to the website, receptionperception.com. Really, really interesting, really eye-opening stuff. All right. I'd say in a couple of days here, we're going to talk about Josh Downs and Quentin Johnston. One's great, one's not so much. Okay, but stay tuned for that episode. But for now, man, we got to get out of here. Again, go to the website, receptionperception.com. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!